Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Good morning. You're very welcome to the programme. Today, airlines flying here from the United States seek to join Aer Lingus and Ryanair to challenge the Dublin Airport passenger cap. Is Manchester United looking for a new manager, Miguel Delaney, on difficult days for Eric Ten Hag? Maura Fey has been to the All-Ireland hedge-laying championships. We'll find out how she got on. Your inheritance tax questions answered by our expert Andrea McNamara, and there's still time to get them in, so send us a message on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32 is the number. Lifting the curtain on Monaco's royal family. Spending revelations that have shocked even the well-heeled in the principality. And when tweakments designed to smooth lines and wrinkles lead to a puffy face. Consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman on the downside of fillers. You can text us on 51551. You can email today cb@rte.ie. And a reminder of that WhatsApp number again. It's 0870 32 32 32. First this morning to the Middle East, and Israel has said its troops have begun a limited, localised, targeted ground operation in southwest Lebanon, expanding that operation from the eastern side of the border. And this follows an announcement from the IDF this morning saying it eliminated a Hezbollah commander in a Beirut airstrike yesterday. Well, for the very latest, I'm joined on the line by Belle True, who's chief international correspondent with the London Independent. Good morning, Belle.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on this morning. So this news that the ground operation is expanding to the southwest of Lebanon, and it had focused on the eastern side of the border. Does this tell us now that there will be a stronger ground invasion in right across that border?
Absolutely. I mean, the Israelis have talked about a limited and localised ground incursion, but the reality on the ground is, from people that I'm speaking to, is incredibly heavy battleground at the moment, and that this was limited. It was in the east, but obviously now has expanded to the southwest. There's also obviously very heavy bombing still in the southern suburbs of Beirut, including around the only airport, international airport in Lebanon. And we've also seen Israel issue evacuation orders for several areas in Lebanon, which go far further north than just the southern border in Lebanon. So the concerns are this is just the beginning, and at least the reports on the ground are that this is very heavy and is far more than just limited localised small raids.
So this is a definite shift then in the strategy from the Israelis?
It would appear to be so. I mean, certainly when they put their troops inside Lebanon, that was a major shift from what had been a kind of year of cross-border exchange of fire that was basically rockets from one side and tank and airstrikes on the other. The intensifying of strikes in the southern suburbs of Beirut has also been part of what looks like an escalation. And that has been reflected in the death toll and in the displacement numbers. At least 1,000 people have been killed in Lebanon in just the last few weeks. And there are over 1 million people on the move, according to the Lebanese authorities. And if you think about it, Lebanon only has a population of between 5 and 6 million. So you can see just how huge, you know, a percentage of the population that is that are fleeing.
OK, I see. As we speak, the Hezbollah deputy chief is speaking too and saying that they want to clash with the Israelis. No one should think that we will not leave our positions or abandon our arms, or rather that we will leave our positions or abandon our arms. But I don't see any confirmation from them that they have lost Suhail Hussein Husseini. This is their key Hezbollah commander. The Israelis said that they had, quote, eliminated him. Hezbollah not confirming that. But what do we know about that person?
So what we know is largely coming from what the Israeli military is saying, and I should add that as a caveat, but what they say he is he's basically Hezbollah's logistics chief. So he's in charge of their headquarters, which the Israeli military says, and is in charge of budgeting and management of various units in the organization. They say that he played a crucial role in weapons transfers between Iran and Hezbollah, and also in the distribution of advanced weaponry among Hezbollah's units. So this is, again, I'm saying, coming from the Israeli military. But of course, it does, if it's true, it does deal another blow to Hezbollah that's already reeling from losing their chief, Hassan Nasrallah, in the strike in Beirut. There are still question marks over the survival of his alleged successor as well. So it definitely feels, I'm sure, for Hezbollah that their leadership is very much under fire right now.
And strong words from them this morning about resisting Israel. And they are firing rockets into Israel. There were sirens in northern Israel just this morning.
Yes, I'm actually in northern Israel right now as I speak to you. There's been sirens sounding down as far as Tiberias, which was an area that wouldn't have been impacted by rocket or missile or drone fire previous to this recent escalation. So and we're seeing, reports in the Israeli media that they may be expanding their sort of closed military zone around the border regions to include other villages, which would mean more areas around the border with Lebanon is basically no-go zone. But certainly, yes, we're seeing, rocket sirens going off further south in the country.
And what about in Gaza? Because we're hearing that the bombardment in the north of Gaza has intensified. What's the latest from there, Belle?
Well, what we're hearing is that Israel issued fresh evacuation orders for Jabalia camp and have launched another offensive in this heavily, densely populated area just north of Gaza City. From the Palestinian health authorities, they said that 19 have been killed. When I asked the Israeli military what this meant in terms of how many people would be impacted, they said tens of thousands of people were impacted by those evacuation orders. It's important to emphasize that there really is nowhere safe to go in Gaza, that a lot of people that I'm speaking to have fled locations at least five or six or even seven times. And they're basically just running from one, part of Gaza to another, trying to find anywhere to shelter from this. The renewed operations, the Israeli military said, is because they believe Hamas is regrouping in the area. But as I said, it's densely populated and there are a lot of families who are displaced from other parts of the strip who are sheltering there.
And they're still dealing with the same problems that we've heard about for so long, the lack of aid, the fact that they cannot get medical supplies in. And now people in Lebanon are going to be facing a similar humanitarian situation, although we have to hope that it will be possible to get aid into that country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lebanon was already suffering from a massive financial collapse, almost unprecedented over the last 4 years. And I'd be struggling with lack of electricity, which impacts the water and sanitation supply. And they had a sort of financial collapse, which impacted the banking industry. They obviously haven't even rebuilt parts of Beirut since the explosion in 2020. So the country was in a pretty dire situation before this occurred. There's now over 1 million people on the move. They are sleeping on the streets, on the beach, in schools, in mosques. The UN and the authorities have set up 900 different collective shelters, but aid workers I'm speaking to are saying that they are just not sufficient. We've even got a situation of Lebanese citizens crossing into Syria, which of course has been a war zone now for over a decade. So that shows you the desperation of people on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Because, of course, the flow would have gone the other way. And we heard yesterday on the programme that a lot of Syrian refugees in Lebanon were the ones who were not allowed access to some of those shelters. We know they're already full in many cases, but that they were sleeping on the streets. Now there are people going in the opposite direction, as you've explained to us, from Lebanon into Syria. And the UN is voicing concern about food supplies in Lebanon now. And disease outbreaks. And we've heard this from Beirut that, even the restaurants serving middle class, wealthy people can't get food now because that supply chain has been broken. It's become a much deeper crisis now, Belle, because, as this war rages in the south of the country, and you've told us about the Israeli decision to expand their operation there, this humanitarian crisis is likely to get worse, as the World Food Programme is telling us.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, one of the key border crossings into Syria, Israel bombed it a few days ago because they said that's where weapons were coming in. to Lebanon, but that also means that there's going to be, you know, supply chains cut there. There's also concerns about the, you know, what kind of access can come through the airport, because the area around the airport is an area called Dahiya, which is a southern suburb of Beirut. It's densely populated, and Israel said it's a Hezbollah stronghold. So, you know, the airport road is quite treacherous as well. And you also have a problem again. I mean, Lebanon doesn't really have any electricity. Everyone relies on generators. That means fuel, so you can't keep food cold. That also impacts the water supply, the sanitation. It's just, you know, the situation in Lebanon was dire before this even started. It also has a massive refugee population, both Palestinian and Syrian. So really, in terms of where this could go, people on the ground have been saying to me that they're worried there could be a second Gaza in Lebanon if there isn't some kind of situation sorted, some kind of humanitarian access or a ceasefire soon.
Can we look at what's happening with Iran now? Because Reuters claimed this morning that Iran's foreign minister has warned that it will retaliate if Israel launches any attack on the country's infrastructure, which we might expect them to do. But is there any indication that that's in the offing, that Israel might do that?
So it is, I think everything is potentially on the table. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu made it very clear that it will make Iran pay for that extraordinary, unprecedented barrage of ballistic missiles that came over, you know, recently, covering the whole of Israel. And there are many options. There's been a lot of discussions about whether they would strike directly Iran, you know, set the sensitive targets like oil production sites, military bases, and maybe even nuclear sites. Iran's oil and gas facilities are mostly clustered in the west of the country. That could be potentially one target, which would obviously hit Iran very, very, it would be a very harsh hit to Iran, because it already has a frail economy and is struggling with internal unrest as well. So striking its oil industry would be one, and also its gas facilities. It's not known, obviously. I mean, Israel's kept us very, very quiet how it will respond. It said it will do, and it will do in a way that it believes will be the most effective. But I assume that the comments from the Iranian foreign minister refer to its oil and gas facilities, which are obviously very, very important to the country.
Belle, thank you very much for joining us once again. Belle True there, Chief International Correspondent with the London Independent. We'll get the latest on the Dublin Airport passenger cap after this break.